Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here in Trumpet Radio Live on 101.3 KPCG. Coming up on this Tuesday edition, how are the president's approval ratings? We have a map for you. There's a spike in calls to poison control centers over dietary supplements. You have to be careful with those. Also, why Germany has a dirty climate secret. They're on the forefront of climate change, but maybe not in a good way. And by land, sea, or catapult, how smugglers get drugs across the border. That and more, this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio on 101.3 KPCG. We are online, a couple of places, kpcg.fm, and a live link at thetrumpet.com. You can find archive material there as well if you miss live programming. And also, if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, please do that at kpcgfm. Email us comments at kpcg.fm. Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here on this Tuesday. A couple of hot days here coming up, but then the weather. I watched weather last night. And they said it's going to be cold. Not cold, but cold for this time of the year going forward for the next couple of weeks. Like highs only hitting about 90, if you can believe it, for this time of the year.
Usually it should be getting to about its hottest point right now, the dog days of summer, right before school starts back up.
We must have done something good. Keep it cooler, more comfortable. You know, and you get your air conditioning or your electricity bill this time of the year, and usually that jumps up quite a bit because of the air conditioning. Unless you can tolerate it being super hot, which it's hard to do, especially when you're trying to sleep. We were talking yesterday a little bit about some sports notes, including the NBA. There was a story yesterday that the Thunder could maybe get Carmelo Anthony, but I don't know if that will actually happen. It kind of looks like it won't, but that would certainly be interesting.
You broke that news to me yesterday. It gave me heart palpitations.
Yeah.
Start drooling.
It was on ESPN. Or Bill Simmons, I guess, said it. And then somebody had emailed me. And then it's like, whoa, I knew you'd be interested. But you never know. You never know with all that intrigue and who's calling who and texting who and who's trying to get on what team. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Thunder. They actually just sent an email out today for the first game of the year. I think it's in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. According to what they said, it's Oklahoma City against the Houston Rockets.
For a preseason game.
It's a preseason.
They do that in the preseason a lot, play some of the games in Tulsa.
That makes sense. Okay, yeah. I was trying to determine if it was preseason or not. It's the day after my birthday, so I guess I won't get free tickets.
Oh.
So I should have called them. It's almost my birthday. Can I get free tickets to go watch? But so that'll be coming up here pretty soon is the seasons go into fall and winter. All those sports keep rolling around. Lots of interesting stories to look at today, including starting out with the president's Gallup approval rating. That was big news. Well, it's big news sometimes when certain networks think that it's low because they like to kind of push that. But there's a map that's put out here by the Business Insider, and it shows you what his approval rating is in each state. I thought it was kind of interesting. I'm going to give you a guess. I'm going to give you a wild guess here. Which states do you think would have the highest approval rating versus which states in general do you think would have the lowest?
You talking about regions of the country?
Regions, states, whatever.
Well, Oklahoma, I know every county voted for Mr. Trump, so they probably have a high approval rating there. West Virginia, every county voted for Mr. Trump, so probably high there as well. And then California and New York would probably be really low.
Yeah. Yeah, I think anyone that kind of follows the political trends would have a similar guess, and that's pretty accurate. Most of the states in the middle of the country are plus 50% approval rating. Oklahoma's at 54%. Kansas at 53%. South Dakota at 57%, and North Dakota 59%. Montana 56%. Idaho's at 53%. Wyoming's at 56%, et cetera, et cetera. And like you said, West Virginia's at 60%. I think that might even be the highest.
Wow.
And Tennessee, Alabama, Kentucky also in the mix there. And then there's a few states that are just below 50%. And then the lowest ones, of course, are California at 30%. And then New York, 31%. Vermont, 26%.
Wow.
So it's kind of what you would expect. The coastal areas are pretty low. Center of the U.S. is pretty high, and that shows the divide in the United States.
Well, Vermont is the home of Bernie Sanders, right? So that
the homes of Bernie Sanders.
The many homes of Bernie Sanders.
he has many homes, from what I understand. But so that's an interesting map. It's kind of interesting to see how it breaks down. Alaska's at 51% approval. So Hawaii's at, 38, it looks like. So differences there, too. And then, but you know, it's not even those states where it's pretty low. I mean, it's still 30% in California, quite frankly, is higher than I thought it would be. I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking it'd be like 1%. I mean, if you believe the news, that's what you would tend to think. But even there, and I don't know how accurate these polls are, of course, you know, they ask a certain number of people and try to get their numbers. But watching the news, it was 2 weeks ago, I think it was, they let off Monday with just lowest approval ratings in history and on and on. And this doesn't seem quite as bad as they were making it out to be.
Not at all. It's quite a big drop-off, like you mentioned, for California, but it's still decent compared to what we always hear coming out of that state from the leadership, how their governor's trying to make a climate deal with China on his own as just a state making deals with other nations for some reason. A lot of issues like that where they're banning travel, state-sponsored travel to some of these more conservative states. But apparently there are quite a few closeted Republicans in California. They'll never talk about it. I had a conversation with one last month who was that way, totally outnumbered in his environment, so he just didn't talk about it much.
Yeah, and that would probably factor into a poll like this on both sides, where whatever the kind of your group thinks that you like to spend time with, you'd probably be more apt to agree with them even if you don't totally. You know, say, oh, no, yeah, I don't agree with what he's doing because that's, or I do, you know, depending on what the popular thinking is. It'd be interesting to see a map of the media's approval ratings. That would probably be closer to about the 2 or 3%. So, but anyway, it's very interesting to see how that continues to go on. Another story today that's pretty interesting. There's a lot happening in the Middle East and Jerusalem, a lot of, always hotly contested area there between the Arabs and the Jews. And this is from the Daily Mail. Erdogan, he's from Turkey, of course, the leader there in Turkey, urges all Muslims to visit and protect Jerusalem. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, he's one of my favorite names, by the way, on Tuesday urged all Muslims to visit and protect Jerusalem after violence broke out over metal detectors that Israel installed and later removed, so they took them out of there, from a sensitive holy site in the city. And that's been talked about a lot on Watch Jerusalem, also the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. And then he said, from here, I make a call to all Muslims. This is Erdogan again. Anyone who has the opportunity should visit Jerusalem, Al-Aqsa Mosque. Come, let's all protect Jerusalem. Protect it from what? If you look at it historically, as we've mentioned before, when the Jews are in charge, they have more free access. They allow more free access to every religion than any other group that's ever controlled that area. You can look at it historically. So protect them from what? From metal detectors? I mean, what are they saying here? We know what they're saying. They want the Jews out of there.
Exactly. And President Erdogan is hugely anti-Semitic. He's not a fan of the Jews. So he's not talking about helping out that nation. He's saying he doesn't want the Jews to be in control of those areas. I don't know. If you were really talking about protecting the area, he'd probably have to be protecting it from other Muslims. They're the ones carrying out all the terrorist attacks.
Yeah. So it's the rhetoric's getting pretty heated. He was referring to the site known to the Jews as the Temple Mount, which is central to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Well, the Jews are central to that conflict in the sense that they don't want them. The Palestinians don't want them there. Israel installed metal detectors at entrance to the site, which also includes the Dome of the Rock, following an attack on July 14th that killed two Israeli police officers. Isn't it amazing how, and this has been brought out on this station, but the Israelis were attacked. And so they respond by simply putting in some metal detectors, and then the whole Islamic world, certainly, completely points a finger at them like they've done something wrong. They were attacked. And this is always the way it goes. They're attacked and provoked. They do something to try to at least defend themselves. And then they're blamed for being the aggressors.
far short of shipping out all Muslims from the country. They just put in a couple of metal detectors, and yet they're getting criticism as if they really did try to deport all of those people. It just, the reaction is absurd at this point. Clearly, any nation that has security in mind would want to stop a future attack, especially when pretty much anywhere else in Jerusalem, and Brent Nautigal has brought that out on the Watch Jerusalem program, you can go to any place in Jerusalem and have to go through a security checkpoint, except for whenever you're up on the Temple Mount. That just makes no sense at all. So finally, maybe security measures there are catching up to where they are in the rest of the country. That should only make sense.
If I were to visit as a tourist, I would feel much more comfortable if there were metal detectors, and I'd happily go through one or a series of them because, you know, you want to feel like you're safe, and that's obviously a terrorist hotspot.
You'd think even other Muslims would be happy about it because they wouldn't get caught up in the crossfire of an attack like that. I mean, that is something that you always see in these terrorist attacks. They kill people in those attacks indiscriminately, regardless of what those people believe. A lot of people who believe what the terrorists believe end up being victims of the attack because the terrorists are not too careful about it.
Yeah, there's another story today. There's an imam or whatever they go by, one of those people in California that is, you know, teaching publicly, and he's on the internet saying that they should kill the Jews. And so that made some headlines way down at the bottom of the page. And I know that kind of talk goes on. But, you know, it's interesting that that happens in California. It's like, where's the outcry? Because isn't that like the bastion of no hate speech, as it would be termed? I mean, if you talk about hate speech, I guess that would be about as hateful as you could get.
Well, apparently they just take everything that these radical Islamists say figuratively. It's just a figurative speech. It's a metaphor for something else. They don't literally mean to kill the Jews.
Yeah, it's crazy because if you think about, say, whatever the pet projects are right now, which is talked about on the Trump Daily Radio Show today, like, say, transgender movements, things like that. If somebody came out like on YouTube and they were talking against that in the same way, the outcry would be deafening. It would be probably top story on every news site. But here you can have one group come out and say they want to just absolutely kill the other group just simply because they're a different religion. And that's, well, par for the course, I guess.
So what we're seeing is certain groups of people being valued above others. Instead of respecting the basic dignity of all humans, we put certain groups at the top, certain groups at the bottom. You can attack groups at the bottom all you want to because they're apparently the oppressors and they deserve to be attacked. But all these other groups designated as victims up at the top, you better not say a single word that could be disparaging toward them. That's when you're in big trouble.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So there's a lot. Obviously, Watch Jerusalem, we have a website there, and the radio program here on KPCG that talks a lot about what's going on over there, and it's on the Trumpet Daily, too. So and the Trumpet.com, of course. Lots of places to find out about what's happening over there in Jerusalem. Here's a story from the U.S., from CBS News. There's a spike in calls to poison control centers over dietary supplements. I think these are pretty popular. People tend to get them. I guess in some ways they're considered to be a health aid, but you have to be careful with them. A study published in the Journal of Medical Toxicology finds that U.S. poison control centers receive a call every 24 minutes on average regarding exposures to dietary supplements. The rate of calls increased by almost 50% in the last 7 years or so, the researchers found. A total of 274,998 cases were reported from 2000 through 2012. 70% of the calls involved children younger than 6 years old. The majority of exposures were unintentional, occurring when children swallowed supplements they found at home. So that's always something you have to watch for. You might have the adults might have something up in the cabinet that maybe in and of itself isn't a big deal, but if a kid gets a hold of it, it can be a problem, and so it's just a good warning, I guess.
Yeah, and dietary supplements are extremely popular. I believe pretty much every athlete uses those, and so they're advertised a lot, and a lot of people get them and probably do not put too much care into who's able to get into the cupboard and grab them. And I don't know if this would affect adults as much, probably in some cases. Sometimes, though, maybe it's just best to eat the healthy foods and not worry so much about a bunch of different pills.
Yeah, it's always amazing how kids can get into things you don't think they can get into. you know, oh, you put it up high. Well, they climb. and but it does affect adults, too, like you mentioned. And in total, about 4.5% of the time, which is over 12,000 cases, it was serious medical complications that occurred. Serious medical complications occurred most frequently with botanicals, energy products, and what the researchers referred to as cultural medicines. Within the botanical category, there's this thing called yohimbe, if I said that correctly, which is derived from the bark of a West African evergreen tree. Hey, chew on that tree. See what happens. How do they, I always wonder how they find out about those things.
Someone has to eat it first,
that
right?
That squirrel looks happy. accounted for the majority of medical complications. So if you have something with yohimbe in it, that might be something to look for. The botanical, which is often used as an aphrodisiac, can cause heartbeat rhythm changes, kidney failure, seizures, heart attack, and death. Sounds like one of those ads that you see during the news for the medications. This will make you feel great. But watch out for the kidney failure, seizures, heart attack, and potential death.
Sounded like some of the excitement you gave me with that Carmelo Anthony update yesterday.
Yeah, you had heartbeat rhythm changes. They say nearly 30% of yohimbe exposures resulted in moderate or major side effects. That's pretty serious business, that thing. If people are taking it and 30% of those that are being exposed are having some of these issues, maybe avoid it. But you know how it is. Anything you buy at the store, you have a general sense of what it is because of the picture or whatever they say on the front. But then when you go through the ingredients, even in basic foods, sometimes you don't even know what it is. You know, what is that? Is that good for me? Is it not? Yohimbe is something to maybe watch out for.
Yeah, from West Africa, it sounds extremely exotic. And the more exotic you get, sometimes the more dangerous it can get as well. And talking about those commercials, a lot of the time, I guess we're just accustomed to hearing the side effects go on for 15 or 20 seconds from the narrator, and they put some nice music to it. Yeah. And some wonderful scenery that you can look at while you're hearing all these side effects, and it's like you don't even think about how devastating it could be.
Yeah, that they really, it's weird. It's kind of hypnotic. You know, you watch the people walk around in the nice, beautiful autumn day, and the kids are playing, and they're telling you about the fact that you're going to die like the most horrible death known to man, potentially. But go ahead and, you know, ask your doctor if you want to sign up for that. They say many of the exposures of energy products, including energy drinks, which we've talked about before, occurred in young children and led to heart and breathing problems, seizures, and other clinical problems. All kinds of energy things out there, energy pills, et cetera, et cetera. And not great for kids and maybe for adults, too. So anyway, I don't think we have, well, I don't know. We might have a few of those things around. I was thinking about myself, but I don't think they're, when you say something like dietary supplements, that's a very wide range. You know, there can be some natural things that are probably decent, but then it can get pretty strange because, like they say, there's not a lot of regulation on these things. So lots of things can be advertised as dietary supplements, and I guess you just have to really look and see what's in there and make sure you want to put that in your body.
Exactly, and even with some of the most closely tested supplements, the ones that are most thoroughly vetted before they go on the market, they're really only testing it with a certain number of people, and not all people are going to respond to them the same way. It's just a huge toss-up to think that hopefully your body responds in the same way as the test subjects did before the product was released.
Yeah, always have to look out for some of those medications and supplements. Here's an interesting story. I'll be interested to hear what Brent Nautical has to say about this, if he touches on it, in the Watch Jerusalem program, but it's from Fox News. Experts are hunting, they say, for biblical tabernacle that housed the Ark of the Covenant. That's Indiana Jones. That's what they always were looking for, in one of the movies they were. It says, at the site of an ancient city on the West Bank, archaeologists are hunting for evidence of the tabernacle that once housed the Ark of the Covenant. Associates for Biblical Research, a consortium of individuals and universities, recently completed 4 weeks of excavation in Shiloh with the goal of eventually locating the tabernacle. So that would be something that I think even the casual maybe observer of biblical history would be familiar with. And that would be a huge, huge find if somebody could find it. So anyway, these people are looking. I don't know. They think the digging around Shiloh may lead them there, but so far they haven't found anything concrete.
Well, it sounds like Indiana Jones might have more to do with the Bible than we all thought, if that's such a core aspect of those movies. I didn't really think about that before, but
yeah, well, they took it to quite an extreme, but yeah, that was I do remember that movie in particular. Dr. Scott Stripling is director of excavations at Shiloh and Provost at the Bible Seminary in Houston, Texas, told Fox News that the site could offer up vital clues. He said, "We have just begun the process of accumulating evidence, but we're confident that the tabernacle rested at Shiloh," he said, adding that the tabernacle was located at Shiloh for about 350 years. So they're looking into some of that. This is, however, not the first time that archaeologists have focused their attention on Shiloh. The Times of Israel reports that a major dig at Shiloh in the 1980s by prominent Israeli archaeologist Israel Finkelstein did not reveal the tabernacle. If you know much about him, he's sort of he's not real pro-Bible, I guess, when it comes to digging. Says, however, the professor of archaeology at Tel Aviv University was not expecting to find the tabernacle, according to the Times of Israel. Finkelstein, it notes, does not view the Bible as a blueprint for archaeological research, opting instead for a, quote, evidence-based approach. So he doesn't think the Bible's evidence. I would counter and say there is no evidence that's better than the Bible, but that's his take anyway.
Yeah, well, sometimes you have to ignore a lot of evidence to say that the Bible isn't evidence.
Right.
And especially if he had a motivation not to find the tabernacle at Shiloh, well, probably he's not going to find it then.
Yeah, it's interesting to see when they dig over there. And people, all kinds of groups, are always digging. They're always looking for different areas. Obviously, Armstrong College, where we're broadcasting from the campus of, has been involved in digs over there. And Fox News has reported on a lot of the digs that we've been involved in, too. So it is interesting to see what goes on. I'll be interested to see if Brent Nautical has a take on it. This is kind of a somewhat new news, I guess. And he's got his hands literally in the archaeology over there. So for a rookie like me, I'm not sure about all the ins and outs of this. I think it's interesting, but I'm sure he'll have a lot of good info about it. But it's exciting to try to find different things that are out there. And so I don't know that this will come to anything, but they're poking around anyway.
Well, we know Dr. Elat Mazar has had a lot of success using the Bible as a guide in archaeology, and that's actually a big way that she's been able to make some of her discoveries. Hopefully the same thing here, looking into the Bible and seeing that the tabernacle was once at Shiloh. I believe, if I remember correctly, that Shiloh was destroyed as well, so they should find a lot of fascinating remains there, hopefully.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if their locations are right. You know, things can kind of change sometimes. So, but that'll be interesting to watch. Here's another one from CNN. This is really interesting about Germany. They are kind of at the forefront of the climate change, and they kind of scold the U.S. because we're not clean like they want to be over
Didn't
there.
Didn't Volkswagen also cheat on the carbon emissions test?
Never mind that. Nothing to see over here. And this is from CNN. They say, why Germany has a dirty climate secret. Germany's Angela Merkel is often referred to as the climate chancellor because of her impassioned stand on climate protection, which has included the muscular arm twisting of laggard nations in Europe and beyond, as she demonstrated at the G20 summit in Hamburg earlier this month. Greenhouse gas emissions in Germany, though, have not sunk significantly since 2009, but rather have stagnated at about 900 million tons of carbon dioxide a year, which is the highest in Europe by far. France's, for example, are less than half as much. So they're now, granted, Germany would be probably more industrialized in general. They have a lot that they're producing. But there is a reality that when you are producing things, it takes energy, and there is a transfer of energies and so forth. So even though they have this green dream, as it were, they're still kicking out a lot of cars and so forth, and have the highest carbon emissions in Europe.
It is baffling to see people who are so passionate about the climate change movement, because they react with a shrug at much more pressing problems. If Angela Merkel is so concerned about the climate change crisis, you'd think she'd be a little bit more concerned about the migrant crisis, because that's the real issue they're dealing with. She is bold enough to lecture the rest of the continent on carbon emissions, and yet they produce the most. And that's the reality. Like you said, if you're going to be a dominant nation in the world, a productive nation, a nation that actually makes things that are useful to their own nation and others, you end up emitting carbon, which really isn't as horrible as people make it sound.
They say that with Germany here, the fact is that they are in real danger of not meeting either their 2020 or 2030 emissions targets, the kind of goals it has pushed other countries to adopt. So, I mean, that's kind of the thing with those different climate accords. You know, it's a lot of talk about the future and setting goals and targets and all this. They're not going to meet them in most cases. So it's kind of a foolish exercise in some ways. I mean, we could all do that and say, I'll have a 75-inch vertical leap in 3 months. Probably not going to happen. But I could set a target.
The only thing that matters is trying, apparently.
Just try.
The goal means nothing at all.
That's right. They say if even Germany can't live up to its obligations, the international goal set at the 2015 Paris Climate Summit of keeping the rise in global temperatures below 2 degrees Celsius simply isn't realistic. So this, I mean, and CNN, Trump, I mean, they are really pro-climate, you know, trying to stop climate change as they would view it. And they're even being honest here and just saying, you know, it's not realistic to do these things. And they do point out the positives in Germany. They have tried a lot of renewables and things like that, but it's still not changing anything hardly. So even though they are doing some things, it's not making a dent.
Exactly. That's why it just gets clearer and clearer what the motivation behind the whole climate change movement is, and it is to slow down nations like Germany. It's actually detrimental to Germany to be involved in the climate change movement because what it does is it forces them to, shut down factories possibly to stop some of those carbon emissions. That's hurting German companies, and then in the process, it's helping other nations that are poorer.
And I think Germany's not really even doing that. I mean, they give a couple of examples, one being coal. They have shut down some old ones, but they built new ones.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're more efficient, but they're still using coal. They say carbon emissions are still rising in Europe's transport sector, which is led by Germany. The main culprits being diesel fuel-powered vehicles. If you buy a vehicle that runs on diesel, where does it usually come from? It's usually Germany usually makes those. Luxury cars, they say, and road freight transport. Germany coddles its world-class automobile industry, which has been extremely slow to embrace alternatives to the combustion-fueled engine. Despite new lines of electric cars, long after Tesla and other foreign car makers forged ahead, the Germans remain wedded to their big gas guzzlers. So it's a lot of talk, but when the rubber meets the road, literally in this case, it's still powered by diesel engine.
Well, this is why they're not going to meet their carbon emission goals. They're not willing to make any of the sacrifices that they lecture the rest of the continent about making. They're not shutting down any plants. They're not cutting back any production. Apparently they know that it would hurt them to do something like that. That's why they're not actually doing what it takes to follow through on their big words.
Well, and two, you know, if you look at just the idea of carbon emissions from nations, well, the nations that are, like you say, producing things, they're doing something which puts them, at the forefront of leadership in the world. So there's going to be production. There's going to be manufacturing. Yeah, you can look at a third world nation and say, well, they're not, you know, doing anything. Because they're not doing anything.
Right.
They're impoverished. That's why it's happening.
There's not a factory there
at
all.
It's not like they made the conscious decision to say, you know what, let's just, you know, we're going to live low just to save the earth. They just aren't making anything. They say, this write-up says, now this is interesting, they say, Germany may not be the leader of the free world, as is sometimes claimed. Well, if they're not, they will be at some point here. It says, but it is Europe's leading force and could trailblaze on climate protection as it has on renewable energy on a global scale, but first it has to be credible with much greater efforts at home. Others are likely to follow if, you know, they do it. Well, but they're not doing it. Not to the level that they're trying to convince other people to do. And so, again, here's an example of them kind of lecturing the world and America, and yet take a look at their own economy and take a look at their own manufacturing and take a look at their carbon emissions. And they're lecturing, but they're not following what they're preaching in this case.
China must be smiling when they see these nations who have already pledged to make these cutbacks, and now they're realizing what those cutbacks actually mean and how much it's going to hurt their industry and their economy. China has already, they've kind of gone along with it, but basically because they know it's going to weaken a lot of their biggest competitors. And at the same time, they're not even really pressured to cut back at all. They're the most populous nation on earth, and then yet they and India are not even really forced to make any sacrifices.
Yeah, I mean, if I think it's hurt no one except the United States as far as economy goes, and that's where I think President Trump, that's why he doesn't want to be part of it, and so people scorn it and they cry and so forth. But take a look at these other nations. Are they doing anything? Apparently not. I mean, according to the CNN write-up, Germany certainly is not not on board to hit their targets, and they're unrealistic targets anyway.
And we're really yet to hear how being involved in an agreement about climate change has any specific benefits or effects. There's been a lot of hair pulling about America pulling out of the Paris Climate Accords, and yet no one can say dogmatically this is what will happen because you have done that. They can't give any statistics, any facts to back up their emotion on the issue. And yet when Mr. Trump gave the speech backing out, he said, here's how many jobs will be lost. Here's how much money we will lose. Here's how many factories or businesses will be hurt by this. There's only specifics on one side of the argument.
Yeah, there only can be, because there's not enough data supporting the other side. I mean, they can come up with some. Obviously, they do, but it's not it's not foolproof or watertight.
And it is dishonest.
Yeah,
a lot of it.
Yeah, as we've talked about, there's reports that show that the temperature isn't swinging as much as they would like you to believe. Those are pushed aside. So. We've all been in the store before, and we've seen people, or in the airport or other places, and you see people with animals, comfort animals, little dogs and so forth. And so I don't know if this was a case of a comfort animal or not, but a man decided that he was going to carry a monkey into a Texas store, and that's not a good idea. You can never trust those monkeys. The monkey then bit a girl, and this is in Terrell, Texas. The search, they say, is underway for a monkey and its owner. They have footage of them, both of them. And the man was not wearing a yellow hat, by the way. Curious George reference. Police in Terrell, east of Dallas, said the two were at the Bucky's convenience store at 3:45 p.m. on Friday. A girl was reportedly bitten by the animal. I wonder how that happened, like if she tried to touch it or if it just took a bite. People are asking for information on the pair, mainly because they need to find out if that animal, has rabies or some other, I don't know exactly what it would have, but if it would have something that would hurt this girl. The incident took place at a location off of I-20. Police apparently want to make sure the monkey's up to date on its shots. Monkey shots? And the so
it's
strange.
A shot for everything,
I guess.
It?
And the girl who was bitten is not in any danger of illness. Bucky's did not release any statement on the incident. They're probably kind of in a tough spot there. What do you do? Somebody walks in carrying a monkey, especially these days. I mean, you wouldn't want to say anything because you don't want to offend somebody and have a big blow up, but then the monkey starts biting people. Strange days indeed. It should just be no animal policies, I think, across the board, unless it's an actual service animal like a seeing eye dog. Because once you start letting people carry animals into places, where does it stop? So, I mean, bring in an alligator? I mean, where are you gonna stop this?
And where did he get a monkey for a pet? I mean, I wonder if he even just like stole that from a zoo or something. It doesn't seem like that's a very regular pet, at least.
Well, I think in Texas, if I remember correctly, they have pretty open laws as far as what animals you can have. The reason I say that is because in Oklahoma here we have this, there's a few places, the exotic animal parks, where they have animals that either acted up at the zoo and no longer could be in the zoo, or in a lot of cases people buy them, whether legally or illegally, have them in their house and they can't control it and they want to get rid of it. And so a lot of times they'll send them to these exotic animal parks. It's kind of a refuge for the animal, and then you can go see them. So it kind of works both ways. And a lot of them came from Texas, from what I remember them telling me,
oh.
Where people would, because they, I guess the laws were more lax, or they used to be, So people buy things thinking, oh, this would be great. And then, oh, wow, I have this wild animal in my house. I can't handle it. Monkey might be a little different. It's smaller, but would you go to sleep comfortably at night if you had a monkey roam in your house?
No, I just feel like I'd wake up and the whole house would be destroyed or be on the loose biting girls in a supermarket.
Right. So you don't know what they're going to do. That's their wild animals. You don't know what they're going to do.
How do you really tame those unless you have some sort of expertise?
Even with animals that are domesticated, like cats, you look at a cat before and you know it has mischief on its mind, but it just can't. It's not big enough or whatever to do it. But you think, if that cat was bigger, I think he would kill me.
I'm sure it has the instincts. I think that's why they're able to bring mangled carcasses back to the front doorstep sometimes.
Sure, yeah.
That's what they do.
Well, you even have to watch when you have smaller children. Sometimes a cat will kind of, I don't know how far they're just playing or how much their instincts are taking over, but I've seen them when we had a cat who kind of like hunt the kids.
Yeah.
You see them out in the garden hiding and then run out at them and just kind of jump up and push them, which was kind of funny, but you know, you have to reprimand the cat because you don't want it to get crazy. With the little kids, but in this case, it's a monkey, and they're looking for the monkey in Terrell, Texas. So, you have to be careful. You can imagine as a parent, you'd be outraged if a monkey or some wild animal came up and bit your kid in a store.
Oh yeah,
I mean that just would be who knows what'll happen there, but that would be a bad deal. Listening to Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG. No wild animals in the building that I'm aware of, except for spiders. I kill spiders every day in here. They're just always, this time of year, they're always around and just step on them. I hope nobody's a big spider lover out there and is offended by that, but I don't want them around me.
Yeah, well, it's probably best to get them before they get you.
Yeah, they're all over the place. If they don't bother me, I don't care about bothering them either, but I don't want them in my habitat.
Exactly.
Keep them out of my space. Key of David program's coming up here in just a little bit. Also, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury, today from Edstone, England again. Continuing to talk about some of the decline in the morality in America and Britain. And talked specifically today about this big push for the transgender movement. You'd think that was, everyone wanted that to happen. I think it's probably a pretty small percentage, but it's really hyped in the media, as he brings out. And so it's a really interesting program. Make sure you listen for that. Related to that, this is a headline from the College Fix. Princeton's new men's engagement manager to combat aggressive masculinity on campus. So this is and this ties in because in the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, Stephen Fleury quotes Herbert Armstrong and when he talked years ago about how this change in the way people are viewing family and that structure is really beginning in the educational institutions, and it's being undermined. We see that today in very stark, contrast and detail. And so this is an example of that. This is at Princeton. The men's manager, they say, this is a new job they're looking to fill. By the way, it's still open in case anybody wants that job. You need to have a doctorate, I think, in women's studies or something. I think that's seriously one of the...
And a desire to turn men into no longer men.
Right. The men's manager will also launch initiatives to challenge gender stereotypes and expand the school's men's allied voices for a respectful and inclusive community. It's hard to put that on a t-shirt. It's too long. A self-described violence prevention program at Princeton that often bemoans toxic masculinity on its Facebook page. So the way that they're bringing this in is they're saying, well, we want to get rid of toxic masculinity, and they equate basically masculinity to violence and attacking people and, you know, threatening women, and which could happen with somebody that's going the wrong direction. It can happen with men and it can happen with women. It can happen with anybody. But the idea that that's a masculine trait is absolutely ignorant. There's nothing masculine about that. That's just crazy behavior. And you see it in anybody. But they're trying to say that if you are masculine, you're a violent aggressor and a danger, and we need to get rid of that. And so they want to get rid of those gender stereotypes.
You talk about generalizing and stereotyping people to say that basically it sounds like that men have violence in their DNA and they need to be reined in and pulled back from their natural instincts. And that just conveniently overlooks so many studies and polls that show that even domestic violence is an instance where women often abuse the men in a relationship, and men are just ashamed to report it a lot of the time. are those masculine women because they have committed violence as well? I mean, it doesn't, they're trying to equate a gender with violence, even though clearly both genders commit a lot of violence.
Well, if you go and you actually look into, say, the history of somebody that would create or would commit a violent act or have some sort of a problem there, I would imagine that in almost every case, and they should do more studies on this, you're going to trace it to a broken family, to the traditional family being broken apart and a person growing up in that environment and then having these issues. That's what you're going to find. You're not often are you going to find somebody acting out in a violent way that grew up in a very stable environment. It can happen, obviously. There will be the exceptions. But when we're talking about a general rule, it's not the destruction of the traditional family that will prevent violence. It's the cause of violence. They've completely flipped it on its head.
Well, yeah, exactly. If boys are growing up with involved fathers who teach them how to be mentally and physically strong and how to work hard, those and you know how to desire to raise and care for a family when they get older, those boys do not turn into predators just because they reach a certain age and they hit puberty. That just is a crazy thing to think. There has to be some element of dysfunction in that person's life for anyone to commit violence.
Absolutely. And the thing too, they want to attack this quote unquote toxic masculinity, and part of it they say, well, on the campus apparently 1 in 4 are being sexually assaulted in some cases. Which that number, I don't know that would be accurate, but how about this? I don't know what they do at these different colleges. Do they ban pornography? Do they ban the dorms where everybody can cohabitate? How about those things? You know, if there is a problem with violence or any nature, but also like sexual violence and such, and attacks, what about the pornography policy that promotes it constantly? You know, you don't hear anything about that. You don't see them hiring an anti-pornography guy.
Exactly.
that would be infringing upon their rights, right? Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Anyway, a lot more about that on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today, and make sure you do listen for that. It's such a push in the media to accept all that stuff. About time somebody said something.
Well, and it's so true as well that 1 in 4 stat is just completely made up, and they have just repeated the lie enough that it became true. There are problems on campuses with rape occasionally, especially at a party where everyone is blackout drunk. We hear of stories like that all the time. But isn't that a matter of those situations making those actions possible? Why is it that ragers are held on campus? Why is it that drugs and alcohol flow freely on campus? Why do they all live in the same dorm? Why is unrestricted internet access allowed? Why are all these things possible that make anyone even get the idea to commit violence on someone else like that?
Right. It's got nothing to do with what they're talking about. Make sure you also listen for, or go to thetrumpet.com, rather. Check out that website. Palestinians are preparing for another intifada. Ties in with so many headlines today. That's by Brent Noctegal. Palestinian society is always one minor event away from reigniting a holy war over Alaska. And he's right there on the ground over there. So make sure you read that article. Check that out. And also related to that, why you must watch Jerusalem. Really important stories at thetrumpet.com today. Grant, you've got a write-up for us here from the New York Times. By land, sea, or catapult, which that's amazing, how smugglers get drugs across the border.
Right. And this article, it really does highlight how creative people are in breaking the law. And we talk about it all the time. If any of these people who are so committed to doing evil directed those energies and passions to doing something good, we would have quite an incredible society.
Well, it's interesting too, because okay, here's another topic now. Drugs, illegal drugs. And getting back to like the whole idea of this toxic masculinity and all that, what about the drug problems? What about solving those problems instead of all this other nonsense? But the reason, as I'm sure we're going to see in this article, that people are working so hard and so creatively, quote unquote, to get drugs in is because there's an insatiable appetite for them.
Right. And once you get back to the true cause of it, the fact that there's a gigantic market in the United States and people, of course, in the U.S. have a lot more money to spend on the drugs as well. Well, that's giving all these smugglers a huge incentive to do what they're doing. Even before the fact that you consider how big the U.S. market is, why is it that those people are turning to drugs? Why do they think that there's a void in their lives that needs to be filled in that extreme type of a way? So there are so many ways where you could get back to the roots of it and try to fix it. But at the same time, we know that comes down to family. And you don't necessarily want the government mandating how to run a family. At the same time, though, you don't want government pushing immorality on the people, which is what they have done.
Right. People, ideally, when the nation was founded, it was based on private morality, that you would have a code you would look at. In a lot of cases, that was the Bible, to govern certain aspects of your life. And but when those are cast off, then it's a free-for-all. And then you have drugs, and you have these other things. And so in this article here from the New York Times, they're talking about how they'll use anything by land, by sea, or even by catapult.
Right.
They're going to stop at nothing to get those drugs into the U.S.
Exactly. And again, the New York Times found a way somehow to take a shot at Mr. Trump in this article. It just astounds me, every article that is written by some of these different newspapers. Wow. Every time they find a way. They start the article by talking about how President Trump was mocked by saying that some smugglers could throw bags of drugs over the border and actually, you know, hit someone on the head if they were standing on the other side of the wall. And so he was mocked for saying that. And then later on in this same article, it talks about people launching drugs over with a catapult. So I don't know what they were even trying to make fun of. The fact that maybe they didn't physically toss the bags over with their bare hands and instead used a contraption that would still cause drugs to fall from the sky and possibly land on people. It's such a technicality that they would make fun of the president for something like that, when literally there are drugs coming out of the sky that could hurt someone if someone was standing on the other side of the wall.
That's amazing. And so, and they're talking here about, of course, mainly coming up from Mexico.
Right.
And that's always a big hot topic. Well, people coming across, was in the news this week about people dying in the back of a semi truck, getting illegally coming into the country. And it's drugs, it's people. And they're using any means necessary. We know there's been tunnels, you know, and like you said, if people use that much drive and energy and initiative and something positive, imagine what could be done. But this is all for gain of money and by selling this these drugs.
And you mentioned that truck full of people, where at least 10 people died from last I heard, being smuggled in the back of a truck. The media cries out about the inhumane conditions of the people on the truck, and yet those same people are fine with an open border, no wall, as little prevention of illegal crossings as possible, and yet they hate the conditions that the people come over in. So which one is it? It would seem that an actual border, a stronger border, would prevent the flow of drugs from coming in and from people being abused like that getting into the country.
Yeah, it's a really interesting situation down there. And it seems like it has slowed a little bit as far as people, at least according to some reports, but I don't know about the drugs. Probably not, I'm guessing, because is there data showing if it's gone up or down lately?
Well, this article doesn't talk about the number of drugs increasing or decreasing, but I would think even just practically, if fewer people were coming in, probably fewer drug dealers would be coming in as well, especially because they have to bring a cargo in. If it's stopping just people coming in on their own, surely it would also be stopping a lot of trucks from bringing drugs in. But here's some of the just insane ways that they're actually bringing the drugs into the country. Most of the drugs enter the U.S. in an assortment of vehicles, drugs being hidden in secret compartments in door panels or on the roof or in gas tanks, or by the tires or even the engines. Any part of the car you can think of, they have some sort of compartment where they could store drugs. And of course, when you're at a checkpoint at the border, if you had to stop every car and search it that thoroughly and be that skilled at finding a hidden compartment, it would obviously take forever. And there's probably not many people who could catch all the drugs from coming in.
And then I've seen, you know, documentaries about the people that will do it. They'll just carry it on their person, and they'll try to somehow, you know, bring it across. And And that always, you know, most times they get caught or they end up in some crazy situation where it gets into their own system. I mean, it is amazing the things people will do to try to get that stuff across the border, I guess, so they can get their payday. I mean, just things you would never even conceive of. I've heard of submarines in some fashion and other things. I hadn't heard of the catapult, but obviously they're doing that. And the hidden compartments and cars, I think that would be kind of, you know, something that would be a little more maybe common.
Mm-hmm.
What else are they doing?
Well, you mentioned the tunnels before. Some of them are rudimentary, but a lot of them have lighting, like tracks, maybe like train tracks, and ventilation systems, even elevators in these tunnels.
Wow.
Kind of like the one El Chapo escaped in, I think.
Right.
And mostly the tunnels are for moving large quantities of marijuana, at least from the reports of the drugs that have been confiscated. It's mostly for moving marijuana. As of March 2016, a total of 224 tunnels were discovered on the southwest border since the year 1990. So in 26 years, they have found 224 tunnels.
That's interesting. I wonder what, because they have legalized marijuana in several states. So I do wonder if they're thinking like, well, hey, if it's all legal and you just let it come in legally, then you can get away with all this, do away with all this illegal, dangerous transport. I don't know if that's some of their thinking too, but, again, it's like trying to eliminate an aspect of the problem by just saying, well, it's not a problem anymore. Mm-hmm. But then you have all the negative consequences of people being hooked on all those drugs.
Right. I have heard of people mention that possibly the government taking control of all of the drug trade and then just taxing it so highly that people could never buy it might be a way to stop it. But what we're seeing is the government is not making drugs legal for that reason. They're still allowing people to sell it privately. It's more because they know that the people voting for them have become lawless and they want the drugs.
Right.
It has nothing to do with trying to stop the problem. Those people who are saying that maybe drugs should be legalized, those politicians, they are just catering to a lawless voting base that just wants to do whatever they want to do. That's the sad thing. When we cater to vices and we pretend like they aren't even problems anymore.
Yeah, there was a story last week, and I think it was mentioned on the Trump Daily Radio Show, how in Las Vegas they were selling it. They started selling it. And of course, that's a party center anyway. And they ran out, and so they called a state of emergency, which I don't even know how that would work. Like, can you call a state of emergency for that? What would the state do? It's just so bizarre. But anyway, I mean, they were, the people were crying out for it, and you can imagine, how people get if you're hoping to get, whatever it is you like, a donut, and they're out, you get mad. Well, this is something with an actual more of a physical addiction to a higher level, probably. And so I can imagine if you were a vendor, you'd have this angry mob, and you would probably call a state of emergency. But again, it just highlights the state of lawlessness.
Well, yeah, and the fact that marijuana usage does cause high levels of irritability and anger once the high wears off. You can imagine that would be quite a terrifying mob gathering outside of some of these stores.
Yeah.
But, regardless of the hundreds of side effects of marijuana, they say it's totally fine. And especially if you use it for medical purposes, somehow it could help the body, even though there's all those side effects. Maybe we've been conditioned to think that way with the pharmaceutical industry that could help you in one way and then hurt you in 200 other ways. And somehow that's fine.
Yeah, that's really interesting because they allow, they allow people to sell these pharmaceuticals, and they warn you about it, but they try to make it look good. But they outlaw cigarette advertisements on TV.
Yeah.
Well, why? Why couldn't the cigarette industry do the exact same thing? Have the nice shot and the cowboy riding the horse or whatever, and then say, oh, by the way, I mean, it's the exact same thing in a lot of ways.
It is like we pick the most random enemies to wage war against, especially when you think that one cigarette is actually, or five cigarettes are the equivalent of one marijuana cigarette in terms of a damaging effect on your lungs.
Right.
So marijuana is as bad as five cigarettes, and yet the mood in this country is anti-cigarettes, pro-marijuana. It just doesn't make any sense at all. You can't wrap your mind around it. And it's not like marijuana only hurts the lungs. It hurts everything else as well.
Right. None of it's good, obviously, yeah. But the way that people pick and choose is interesting.
The priorities are upside down, and it's really getting to the point where you don't blink twice at it, because you see that in every area where people freak out about the tiniest things. They care about words more than actions, for example. The same thing with the drugs. They don't seem to think anymore that a lot of these drugs are as dangerous as they really are. Anyway, there's a lot more ways that the drugs get across the border. Cargo trains, tractor trailers, passenger buses, trucks and trains carrying fresh produce like watermelons, limes, and other fruits and vegetables. What they do is they'll paint the bag full of drugs the same color as the watermelons or the limes.
Yeah.
And then they'll just put the bags in the bottom of these crates full of their fruits and vegetables.
Wow. Hope you don't get the wrong bag at the store.
No.
Make sure you wash it. That's why they tell you to wash your fruits and vegetables when you get them.
Right. They've also found cocaine and tomato crates.
Nah.
So just everywhere, every way you can think of it, small speedboats coming from Mexico, mostly into California to get around border walls and border patrol agents. I mean, the level of creativity here really is outstanding. 309 attempts to smuggle drugs across the border using boats from 2011 to 2016. So it's a pretty regular occurrence. That's probably about once every 5 or 6 days over the course of 5 or 6 years, they would catch another small boat trying to make a drug crossing.
That's amazing. And it's all because people want it so bad. I'm sure there's more, but that's all the time we've got to look at that. That's from the New York Times. By Landseer Catapult, how smugglers get drugs across the border. It is a problem for sure, and there's a lot about that topic you can find at thetrumpet.com. Make sure you do check that out. We are out of time for today. Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live. Make sure you listen for the Key of David program and the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Those are coming your way here in just a bit. For myself, Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.